Argentine and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes.
Gorgeous Entrepreneurs on Radio Gorgeous.
So, and I want to welcome Juliet Praise to Radio Gorgeous. Welcome, Juliet.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Pink lobster dating. What is it?
It's a variety of things. Mm-hmm. So Pink Lobster Dating is the brand name, and it started as an online dating site for femme women to who like femme women. And then we expanded, so we have Pink Lobster Matchmaking, which is a personal bespoke offline service, like old school style matchmaking. And then we also run events, we have products, so we have a whole variety of different parts of Pink Lobster Dating now.
And why did you come up with Pink Lobster Dating? Because why did you see the need? What was the need that you saw?
I was doing my own dating escapades, as you could say, and I noticed a lot of flaws out there. The biggest flaw for me personally was how I was treated by the community itself. So not being accepted as being gay, or being that presumption that I was wanting a man involved as well. So a lot of women said to me, oh, do you want to get involved with me, my boyfriend? Or they'd be like, oh, let's just have fun together. There was that presumption that I wasn't looking for love, that I must be a fake lesbian.
Because you're too pretty.
Not too pretty, but...
Too feminine.
Feminine, yeah.
So you're not rich enough, you're not political, you're not...
Yeah, well, I am political, but that's a different thing.
but you don't come across in your dating.
Yeah, so the visually, and obviously online, it's very visual. It's a photo, it's a brief description, so therefore it can be real. And that was the primary issue. The other issues were that online dating was so impersonal, and I felt very isolated. And also, I was quite naive at the time. I know a lot now that I didn't know then. All the things that were going on, the safety issues, so many things I had no idea about. And
like
I
what?
Got myself that men can pretend to be women, that women can pretend to be other women, that you don't know who you're speaking to. All these things were going on, and I had no idea. So I got fooled nearly by the Nigerian thing. You know, when they say that I've got a funeral and somebody's dying, can you lend me money? I nearly got fooled by that. I got fooled by somebody who was a man. I got fooled by somebody who was not quite what they said they were. All these things, luckily nothing in person, but online I discovered a lot. So
wow.
Lots of things
scary.
Happening. Yeah,
because you're pretty, you know, anybody dating anybody, you know, it's a risky business.
Yeah.
As you say, it's personal. One hopes it gets physical. Mm-hmm. And so there, just that in and of itself is quite risky. You know, so that's, but all of the safe options are also bad. You know, anyone you work with, you know, dating, bad. Anyone you met in a bar, dating, bad.
there's not the perfect solutions.
Yeah,
so for me, it was actually, what can I do? And at the time, I wasn't thinking, I'm going to set up a business, because I wasn't a businesswoman as such. I had business understanding and management experience and business experience, but I wasn't ever thinking I'm going to go and set up a company. I just thought all these things are lacking, and what I really wanted was I wanted somebody like to hold my hand and to say, look, this is what you need to do, this is what's safe, this is what's not safe. And I wanted that. And so in the end, I discovered there was so much lacking that I wanted to create something out there for women like myself who were struggling. By this point, I was in a relationship, I was solid, I was happy. So I wasn't doing it for myself, but it was based on my experiences. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I need something for femme women, and I need something where they had a hand held to help them along the journey. And that's why I created Pink Lobster.
And how does it work?
Okay, so primarily the online dating site is highly, it's got a lot of safety on there. So what we have to do is to sign up. It's sign up for free, and then you upload a number of images, but they have to be different images. And so we vet everyone manually and technically based on the images and the information they use. There's lots of things we check, so we don't just allow somebody on there. And so we do lots of checks. And once you're on there, then you're a real person. That's the starting point. Now, how we help with the holding hand side of things is we have a whole group of experts on there that people can contact and speak to. For support.
Okay, in what different areas? Because this is one of the things that the Diva Power List, you know, has you were on the list, top 100 women on the Diva Power List, is because not only, you know, yes, you are providing, this is a business,
yeah,
but you are providing support and help in different areas for women. So what are the types of things that your experts help women with?
Well, for the online dating, it's very different to the matchmaking. Mm-hmm. So how it started with the online dating was that if you wanted support, and we had massive list, or we still got a massive list of experts, if you want legal advice, you want sex therapy, you want relationship therapy, you want psychotherapy, you've got all these women that we recommend that work with us as well, who are contracted, and then we'll say, look, you can speak to them and they can support you through that journey. We also have a lot of information on sort of safety, and a very popular blog which has got a lot of information and guidance for women, so they can look at that and they can speak to women as well.
Excellent. And is that available to people who are not sort of users of your site, but that's part of
yes
what the site is providing?
Exactly. So yeah, they can still seek the expert advice even if they're not a member of the site, and they can still read the information. And then the matchmaking was a sort of offshoot on that, where they can seek a lot more support and advice, and basically like your best friend with you through the whole journey. So it's a person-to-person real life experience where you get to know the client entirely and you help them through the whole journey.
Okay, of course in my head it's like matchmaker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's our song, basically.
Yenta lesbian.
Yeah, that's what I am, basically, yeah.
I love it.
I was born to do this, basically, yeah.
So it fulfills that sort of the nosy parker need,
yeah,
and the helping need.
Yeah, everything's there.
Yeah.
But you know what's really interesting is the Jewish thing is really funny, because obviously my partner and I are both Jewish, we set it up together, and we do have a lot of Jews applying, more than non-Jews, because we just get it more, and it's in our blood. Americans get it more, and Jews get it more. UK Christians want it, but they don't necessarily get it at the beginning. When they understand it, they love it, but it's understanding it. That's the first part of it.
Yeah, but to me, that it makes sense that your site has all of those other things.
Yeah.
We're like, there we, yeah, of course, if you're going to be in a relationship, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And also for women who I think are, it seems to me, it's also pitched not at very, very young women.
Mm.
It's pitched more at women who are at a certain point in their lives or are coming out of heterosexual relationships,
yeah,
realizing that they want to be in a relationship with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of pitched to that sort of decision-making time or change in people's lives.
Yeah, it's interesting that you picked up on that, because there's lots of dating sites and apps and things like that going on there, but so many women over the age of 30 don't feel comfortable on there because they're so youth-focused. And it is still that feeling of like a one-night stand type mentality.
Yeah, the grinder.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just not what most women who want to find love want. They want something which feels serious and gives them that sense of, actually, I'm here for finding the one. You know, I might not find the one straight away, but that's what I'm wanting. Although there are women on the site that don't just want the one, that's, like you say, where we're looking for. Because, once again, that's what was lacking.
Mm.
So.
And so what have you found? What have you discovered? Because like you said, you and your partner were together.
Mm.
You found each other prior to you setting this up. But so what were the things that you weren't expecting to move into
on the site? Wow, so much,
yeah,
so much. Do you mean in the sense of the people behind?
Yeah, I mean,
the members.
Yeah, because I'm sure you decided with one idea. It's like, oh, there's a need, and I'm interested because it sounds like it's a very evolutionary process for you, and the business has evolved.
Yeah,
and it's become more of a service,
yeah,
than just a surface service.
Mm.
So I'm interested in what you've discovered, you know, along the way.
I've discovered, which I think I knew all along really, is that women are very complex. Yes. And it's not just what women want more than men, although I'm not a big expert on men, is they want a community feel. They want to feel understood on every level. And they want to feel that you're their friend and that you understand them and that you they understand you and you can work together. It's not just a one-way process. So it's very much, once again, holding hands. And also that women are different sexually, perhaps, than what I thought originally. So it's not just black and white. Women are much more fluid than men. And there's been a lot more studies of late anyway to prove this now. Mm-hmm. I've always known it, but it's more and more understood now and more accepted, I guess. I mean, 82% of women are attracted to women at some point in their lives, according to a recent study. Mm-hmm. Another recent study is, I think 100% of women have at some point in their lives wanted even just to kiss a girl and like it. You know, they've got that, been there, done that, and they want to do that. But what's also interesting is, historically, people thought that that fluidity was just a one moment in their lives, possibly. They were just having a go, they'll go back to a man. And now it's the other way. It's actually, that's often the moment when they think, I don't want to go back to a man. I may not always be with women, but I'm now at a point when I want to be with a woman. It doesn't mean that I'm not taking this seriously. And actually, I want to have a relationship with a woman. And what's interesting is I speak to women all the time, obviously, in my job. And I have women applying for our matchmaking services every day. And the most common conversation I have now is, I was with a man. I was happily married. I wasn't unhappily married. I wasn't unhappy sexually with him. But I now want to be with a woman. And it's not because I'm now a lesbian. It's because now I want to be in that place in my life. And that's what I've discovered really interestingly, which is maybe different to what I understood beforehand, because I've always been a lesbian, a gold star lesbian, you know, so.
Grade A lesbian.
Yeah, grade A lesbian, exactly. No, gold star is an official term.
Is it? What
yeah,
does it mean?
It means that I've never slept with a man.
Right.
That's the official, like, gold star sort of label. So for me, I used to believe that people who were not lesbian, who say they were having the moments, just haven't admitted it to themselves.
Right.
But I realise now,
just a six pack away.
Yeah. But it's really not mm-hmm. the case. It really is about sexual fluidity for a lot of women.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And that seems to me sort of like a social and public and almost political awareness that has come up sort of in our growing up time.
Exactly.
You know, that same thought, the same prejudices that you were talking about within the lesbian community, you know, it's sort of like feminism. You had to wear corduroy, cut your hair off, and smile. It's like, no, it's not required. I can be a feminist and wear a bra.
Yeah.
I can be a feminist and wear a push-up bra.
Yeah.
I can be a lesbian and wear a push-up bra too. You know what I mean? It's like, I think our because those initial battles were fought so hard, that then when it's a little bit easier, the full flowering of, you know, the full range of everything is
it's like that motto of gratefulness. You know, it's like feminists now say, you know, we only have equality because of what we fought for previously. And it happened now. You know, Hillary Clinton's a great example. You know, we only have the option of her because of who people have fought beforehand. However, when does that gratefulness allow us to just live our lives?
Yes.
And it's come to a point now that women want to live a life. Of course we're grateful for what everyone's fought for, and we're still fighting in many ways, of course we are, but we don't have to live our love lives in a fighting mentality. You know, love and political activism can be separated. And so for our women coming to us, majority just want to find love. They don't want to have to fight anymore. They just want to be who they want to be.
Yeah, I don't want to have to explain myself,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah, they just want to be able. And what's interesting is people still in the community still judge women who are not 100% lesbian. There's been a lot of articles written about this still. And I just spoke to a woman yesterday who said, look, I'm not going to date anybody who's not lesbian. I'm just not even going to go there. And so I had a conversation. You know, I never tell people you have to feel a certain way, but I just had a conversation and explained that actually lesbians are more likely to cheat than non-lesbians anyway. So if you're doing this because you don't trust someone, that shouldn't be a reason.
Interesting. And why is that, do you think? That lesbians are more likely to cheat.
Because the community is quite small, I think, So they go around in a circle. You know, it's like, who have I not slept with? You know, who's left for me here? So they just move around, stereotypically speaking. But actually, a lot of communities, that can be the case. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Yes, of course. It's funny. It strikes me also that how your site, business, and service has evolved is a bit like women's sexuality, in the fact that, you know, the autonomic immune system has to be placated and soothed, and we do need the talking and the flowers and the flirting and the this, and, you know, to relax in order to be open.
Mm.
And that you have evolved this service in exactly the same way, that we would have to be comfortable and understood and listened to and cared for. You know what I mean? This exactly sounds like...
Yeah, I mean, it definitely...
Foreplay.
Yeah, it is like... Our service is like, I guess, foreplay, although we try not to go there. You know, no, we don't offer that kind of service, yeah. But we do offer service, and also for a lot of women, is they want all that, but they don't necessarily understand themselves. That's where the other thing lies, and that's where the matchmaking has really evolved, where we... Everyone who works with our clients has to have some sort of understanding of coaching or therapy. Because although they don't need therapy, often women coming to us are not understanding the patterns they're going through in their lives. They're not understanding why they haven't found love. And it's not because they don't want to. It's because they just have never had the opportunity to really explore why things have happened and where things are going to go. So if you go straight online for dating and you haven't explored yourself often, then you will keep making those same mistakes and you won't even know where to go, where to look, who you're looking for. So for example, most women, what they will look for is they look for things that they don't want rather than what they do want. So that'll be based on exes. So they'll say, I don't want someone who is dishonest. That's the most common thing I hear. I don't want someone who's dishonest. And I think, well, who does?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want someone who's dishonest? I'm going to put that on my social media, you know, my profile. I want someone who's dishonest.
Lie.
Yeah, lie to me, please. I'm desperate to be lied to.
Okay, it's like steal stuff. Exactly. I don't know. Be abusive. Be an asshole.
Yeah. It still makes me laugh when I hear that because obviously no one wants that. And another thing is, yeah, someone who's not going to cheat.
Yeah.
And so often it's, I wonder where that comes from. That stems from something, and let's deal with that as a starting point. And let's look at what you want in someone rather than what you don't want. So we do a lot of activities with women and we work with them about creating their ideals rather than creating their things they don't desire.
What a wonderful service. It sounds like, you know, even if they don't find someone to love, they know you're sort of setting them free on their path to love.
Yeah, exactly. And for us, you know, we do a lot. We do dating coaching separate to matchmaking as well. Because often women, they don't necessarily need the actual finding the woman, but they want to understand themselves. And then they can go, like you say, set themselves free and go and find women themselves. But so they've got different parts of it. And the way the matchmaking comes in is for women who don't necessarily have the time or they don't want to ask the difficult questions that we can ask. So when we interview women, we'll ask the questions that will be embarrassing for someone else to ask on a first date, such as, do you want children? You know, what is your history? All that kind of stuff that we can sort of get to the bottom of first.
Yeah, because that is, people also don't want to waste time
yeah.
in a certain sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially women, you know, and biological clocks and all that other mishigas. Mm. And who's going to do the carrying and the, you know, that's big political stuff as well as emotional stuff.
Yeah.
And dreams you've had about yourself and your life, you know, which your sexuality may have interrupted or may have, you know, scuppered along the way. So tell me some of your success stories.
Well, unfortunately, we don't hear about them all
yeah.
for the online, but the matchmaking, yeah. the great thing about matchmaking is we do hear about those
yeah.
because we're working with them directly. So we have some incredible, wonderful stories. And you know, it's the best thing is to be invited to the wedding. That's the best feeling when you get your little invitation and it's like, oh wow, this is real, this is happening.
Yes.
So it's wonderful.
Well, and that really speaks to your service being very close with people.
Yes.
You know, if you get a wedding invite,
yes.
you know, you don't invite match.com to your wedding. You know what I mean?
I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt it. Yeah.
Like, oh, that's lovely. Excellent. And so where do you think the business is going? Where are you, you know, so how long have you been in business and where, because it's obviously growing and evolving as you see the needs of the women in your community changing.
Yeah.
So where are you headed?
Well, we're in America now. And so that's expanding a lot more now. What's interesting about American matchmaking is it's such a huge country. I mean, in the UK, you can match somebody, you know, in London or Scotland and they can still meet each other. But to match someone in Florida or California, it's not possible. So we're expanding different states. So we've got popular states at the moment, like we've got California, we've got New York, we've got Chicago, we've got Atlanta. So we've got some key states. key areas where more people are applying, but we obviously want to expand it as much as possible in the central as well, because that's harder for women in Central America than it is in both sides. Mm-hmm. It is more difficult for them.
Wow.
Because there's less opportunities for women in places like Michigan and places like that. Where do you start?
And so is it sort of like a franchise? How are you looking to expand in those areas? Because obviously you're based here.
Yeah.
And is this part of where your experts come in? And
sort of. I mean, with matchmaking, and the wonderful thing about our generation with internet, we can interview women via Skype, and we do that already. So we don't physically have to see everybody. So we can see people other ways. We do have ambassadors in different parts of America who headhunt for dates for us as well. So we don't just find women online, we find women face-to-face as much as possible. So that's the way it's expanding, it's getting different ambassadors in different parts of the states.
Cherry-picking off gay pride parades.
Yeah, basically, you know, stalking all the women across America for us. So. And everyone always loves it, because we give out cards on Underground, and it says, you've been noticed.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So people love, you know, it's a big, great compliment to be gone, you know, have somebody go up to you and say, look, you look great. You could be great for somebody. And everyone loves it.
How nice.
And it's funny because we always have...
I haven't gotten one.
Oh, I'll give you one later. I've always got a few on me.
Just in case,
exactly. But we have a lot of men wanting our services. And we always say we couldn't do that to men. Those cards would be very different. If you give that to a potentially straight man, you'd probably get a few issues. But women, because they're much more open, like I said, sexually and fluidly, and they don't see it as an insult, they always see it as a compliment. It's a compliment, whatever way, it's always a compliment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't affect, you know, me, but it's just nice to hear.
Yeah. And people are great. Even we've had people before say, well, actually, my boyfriend's right next to me, but thank you anyway. Mm-hmm. So we do whatever we can to find women for women.
Beg, borrow, and steal.
Exactly.
We're not picky. And so how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, so we've got obviously pinklobsterdating.com, pinklobstermatchmaking.com, and that's the best way to send. We've got some contact forms on there, so you can get in touch via the websites.
Excellent. And what's the significance of pink lobster?
Ah, well, lobsters, I don't know if you remember Phoebe and Friends, when she said, she's your lobster. Lobsters mate for life. That's the idea. So it's about longevity and about quality as well. Because when you think of lobster, you think of quality, and because you've got that myth. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. You know, penguins and lobsters all mate for life. And pink epitomizes gay often. Yeah.
Or
lesbian. Yeah, feminine, lesbian. Yeah. Pink in the front, that's what it means.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Juliet, thank you for being on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2016. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com. And when she passes, each one she passes goes. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently. That when she passes, each one she passes goes. So sadly, how can
see. She looks straight ahead, not at him. She passes, he smiles, but she doesn't see. She just doesn't see. No, she doesn't see. She just doesn't see.